Welcome back to In Focus, News Radio KMAN here at 938 and the Manhattan Fire Department. Joining us here on the program, we have two guests with us here via Zoom. We have Fire Marshal Jacob Powell. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
Always a pleasure to have you on. And we also have Battalion Chief Jason Hudson joining us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on, Brandon.
Yeah, certainly a pleasure. I know Jason's been doing some work here that we're going to talk about here regarding wildfire safety. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, we've been doing some training with the Kansas Forest Service, our partners, who were very fortunate to have them headquartered here in Manhattan. They've been coming and teaching us some wildland fire techniques. It's actually a federal class that people in all over the United States receive to fight wildfires. So that's what we've been up to in December.
What does some of that training involve here? We haven't seen wildfires, I guess, in this part of the state maybe for a little while, but it has been pretty dry.
It has been dry. That's right. You know, with the city, we really haven't had a wildfire class. We've had some smaller classes, but nothing that reaches the federal certification level. And the reason that we're doing that is the city's growing, especially on the west side of town. We have the Roger Schultz Park and the properties along Scenic Drive are full of red cedar trees, which increases the fire load a lot and creates kind of a, what we would call an urban interface, wildland urban interface. Puts those homes in a slightly elevated risk if we had a wildfire out there. So we want to be trained in stopping any fires that occur, which we've had a fire out there on the Roger Schultz Park back in May of 17. So it's already happened. We want to be prepared for the next one.
Yeah, certainly a good idea. How long does this training last? And what, I guess, when did you say you got started? Was it recently?
Right. So we started a few months ago doing there's a computer-based training module that all the firefighters had to do, which was it's over 20 hours. It's pretty lengthy for a computer-based training. And then there was a field day. And the field day happened in December where we went out to the Roger Schultz Park. If you walk around, you can kind of see where we kind of did some scratching in and removing some of the vegetation. That happened in December. It included ways to use hand tools, how to fight fires with limited water, how to get trucks in the right place, how to get people in the right place, determine how fast the fire is going to move and where to put our resources at. And then there was also, some of us did the physical fitness portion in order to get the federal certification, which they call the red card, if any of your audience had heard of that, which people in California, Colorado, all those personnel that are fighting wildfires out there have to receive this certification. And it reminded me of my time in the Army. You had to wear a 45-pound pack, and you had to walk 3 miles in 45 minutes, which is a pretty good pace. I felt it the next day, that's for sure.
That sounds like a tough job there. Yeah. You know, and I guess this is good not only for because of where we live, but God forbid you have to get called out and maybe go to Nebraska or Oklahoma where there's fires constantly and they need help, then you have the training and you can be called upon to do that.
That's exactly right, Brandon. In fact, we just went to the St. Mary's area back in the late part, early winter or late fall to help them with a wildfire. And that gives us the actual certification, gives us the proper training that we need to deal with that, to fight those fires.
Do you guys have any tips for, you know, ag producers, anything, what they can do to help kind of mitigate any risk here when we are in such a dry season?
Right. So they need to watch for those red flag days if we have any, and watch out for any open fires, open flame. It doesn't take much to start a wildfire. So, you know, around here, I would say we've done a great job so far. So if we can keep that up, that would really help us out.
All right. Very good. Well, Jacob, do you have anything you want to highlight here this morning?
No, just want to remind people, if you do have a an open burn or a brush pile, make sure you attend it and watch it. We have some occasionally that the wind will come up the next day and start it up again. So be aware of what you're burning and attend it when it's hot and smoldering.
We were talking in the last segment here with Greg Eystone about getting rid of your Christmas trees. That's probably if you haven't done that by now, probably is certainly a good time to do it because those can be a fire hazard.
Absolutely. Christmas trees, if you're using a natural cut tree, make sure you get it out of your house as soon as it starts to dry and lose needles. So if the needles are falling off when you touch it, it's time to get it out of the house.
All right. Not to mention it's January. So Christmas is over. And even though it seemed to be a long Christmas season, as far as while I've got you here, do you guys have any information on how many calls you went on in 2020?
Yeah, I've got the 2020 year-end numbers. Total calls for 2020 was down about 200 calls from 2019. We ran 2,481 total calls. Over 50% of those are EMS incidents for responding to somebody had a vehicle accident or a fall or just felt ill and needed to get checked out by fire and EMS. Total fires for 2019 and 2020 are just about the same. And this would be anything from a grass fire or trash can fire up to a structure fire, but we had right at 100 total fire calls. 38 of those were actual structure fires or something on fire inside of a structure. And that's pretty consistent year to year. We haven't had any major structure fires, fortunately, not a lot of large losses. Our total loss for last year was 350,000, averaged about 6,400 per incident, for the incidents with the recorded loss of contents or property.
And I know many times fires can just start accidentally, but a lot of times they're preventable. And so it's always a good reminder to tell people just to be careful.
Absolutely. Be careful. Some of the things that we see this time of year, people are using their fireplaces or their wood stoves. Make sure when you clean those ashes out that you put them in a non-combustible container with a lid. So metal can with a lid, put it away from anything that's going to burn. And make sure those ashes are completely cold. It could take a week or more for those ashes to completely cool down and go out before you dispose of them in the trash. But dispose of those in a sealed metal container so that won't spread to your siding or a garbage can, any other part of your house.
Very good. All right. Well, about out of time here, but anything else before we let you go?
Just one reminder with the winter weather, if we do get snow or ice precipitation, it's a property owner or resident's responsibility to clear the public sidewalk in front of their residence. So you have 36 hours from the time the snow stops falling to clear that. And that is responsibility of the person that lives in that residence to clear those sidewalks.
All right. Very good reminder. It will snow at some point here in 2021. So we'll look forward to that. Jason, Jacob, thank you so much, and thanks for all you guys do out there.
Thank you, Brandon.
Great. Thank you, Brandon. Have a good weekend.
You too. Stay tuned. We'll talk with folks from the Link Scooters next here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.